be having two scripture readings this morning, both from the book of Psalms. The first reading comes from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord of heavenly forces. My very being longs, even yearns, for the Lord's courtyards. My heart and my body will rejoice out loud to the living God. Yes, the sparrow too has found a home there. The swallow has found herself a nest where she can lay her young beside your altars. Lord of heavenly forces, my King, my God. Those who live in your house are truly happy. They praise you constantly. Those who put their strength in you are truly happy. Pilgrimage is in their hearts. As they pass through the Baca Valley, they make it a spring of water. Yes, the early rain covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength until they see the supreme God in Zion. Lord God of heavenly forces, hear my prayers. Listen closely, Jacob's God. Look at our shield. God pays close attention to the face of your anointed ones. Better is a single day in your courtyards than a thousand days anywhere else. I would prefer to stand outside the entrance of my God's house than live comfortably in the tents of the wicked. The Lord is a sun and shield. God is favor and glory. The Lord gives, doesn't withhold, good things to those who walk with integrity. Lord of heavenly forces, those who trust in you are truly happy. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading from Psalm comes from Psalm 112, verses 1 through 9. Praise the Lord. Those who honor the Lord, who adore God's commandments, are truly happy. Their descendants will be strong throughout the land. The offspring of those who do right will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in their houses. Their righteousness stands forever. They shine in the dark for others who do right. They are merciful, compassionate, and righteous. Those who lend generously are good people, as are those who conduct their affairs with justice. Yes, these sorts of people will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. They won't be frightened at bad news. Their hearts are steady, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are firm, they are not afraid. In the end, they will witness their enemies' defeat. They give freely to those in need. Their righteousness stands forever. Their strength increases gloriously. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
As we continue our series, Spiritual Affective Disorder, we look today at how God is present all around us and how we can see little altars everywhere in our everyday lives. We move through these cold and often gray days seeking God's presence and light in our lives. The lack of light, weather-wise, can lead us to feeling blue. But we have learned that listening to music, humor and laughter, serving others and doing justice, all of these things help us to experience God's light. Intentionally looking for places in the world where God is particularly felt and known is another way we brighten up these days of winter. God makes God's self known in creation and in curated spaces, and that is what we will focus on this morning. So let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. An altar is a place where we come to meet God. Most of us probably think that altars are reserved for churches or other places of worship. But as Barbara Brown Taylor says in her book, An Altar in the World, the altars of our ancestors in the faith in a physical location did not exist until Solomon's temple was erected in Jerusalem. And that was built in about 950 BCE. Before that, altars were in the world, the places where individuals encountered the divine in their everyday lives. For example, after having a dream of angels ascending and descending a ladder between earth and heaven, Jacob declared, "The Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." He then put the stone on which he had slept upright, poured oil over it, and called the site Bethel, which literally means the house of God. We encounter the divine each and every day, not just on Saturdays or Sundays in this building or in any other church. If we find the sanctuary a place of comfort and experience the divine presence here, we might just be lifted up by looking for the little altars everywhere as we go about our daily routines. Barbara Brown Taylor continues, "Earth is so thick with divine possibility that it is a wonder that we can walk anywhere without cracking our shins on an altar. The earth is full of the divine, places where we can meet God." Mechthild of Magdeburg, a Christian mystic, wrote, "The day of my spiritual awakening was the day I saw and knew I saw all things in God and God in all things. Therefore, God is in the snow falling, leaving the trees flocked with white cotton-like fluff, in the squirrels pouncing their way across the drifts and scampering up the trees, and in a cardinal eating a berry off a branch on a blustery day. God is present on a hot August afternoon in a dragonfly fluttering around the garden, digging in the soil, seeing a spider carrying an egg sac, a worm slinking away, and the rich black soil ready for seeds to be planted. God is present in all of those things. Driving down the road in June as the new corn is just peeking up out of the furrows, or seeing a rainbow as the rain shower subsides. Observing small children, watching bubbles being blown, and hearing their laughs and their claps of joy. Hearing a newborn crying, even sitting at the bedside of a loved one who is dying. All of these examples can be holy moments, sacred experiences during which we meet God. They are altars not built with our own hands, but existing in the world, part of God's amazing creation. These are little altars everywhere. In our scripture, the psalmist is overjoyed at being able to experience the formal dwelling place of God, the temple. Psalm 84 is a prime example of this kind of psalm used as pilgrims make their way to the Jerusalem temple. They are rejoicing at the opportunity to worship together in community at Zion, where God's presence is especially known. And it's not just worshiping pilgrims who yearn to be near the altar of God. God's creatures long to be near as well. Verse 3 reads, "Yes, the sparrow too has found a home there. The swallow has found herself where she can lay her young beside your altars, Lord of heavenly forces, my King and my God. The birds of the air, making nests in the courtyards of the Israelites' place of worship, they are a sign to the pilgrims that all of God's creatures worship God." Many people find churches and cathedrals a very important place to meet God. I think we are probably all some of those individuals. But there are other places to experience the divine. The Celtic people described thin places as those where the separation of heaven and earth is barely felt. Thin places can be different for each one of us. But one place that has been significant for thousands is an island off the coast of Scotland called Iona. People travel to the birthplace of Celtic Christianity every year to stand on its rocky shores on some of the oldest rocks on the planet. They visit the abbey to worship, but also to experience this amazing beautiful place to commune with God. It's a challenging place to get to, accessible on ferry, by ferry, on days when the ocean is calm enough to actually get there, but it is obviously worth the voyage as evidenced by its popularity. Iona is one of those places on my bucket list, but I have already experienced a few thin places of my own. Many of them at national parks, Acadia, Sequoia Kings Canyon, Yosemite, Yellowstone, and Muir Woods, where I have hiked and stood in awe and wonder, looking into and listening to a clear river running, seeing the sun shine in an expansive blue cloudless sky over an amazing meadow of wildflowers, or gazing up at a redwood. Those are indeed holy moments. John Muir once wrote, "Everybody needs beauty as well as bread, places to play in and pray in, where nature may heal and cheer and give strength to body and soul alike." Muir knew intimately of little altars in the world. During Chicago winters, it can be hard to make ourselves go outside, particularly when it's so incredibly cold. So it's hard then to witness to the altars in creation. I was in Puerto Vallarta last week, and that was an awesome way to soak in the light, literally, and the beauty of God's creation, as you can see from this photo of an amazing sunset. And fortunately, I and all of us, we can't spend our entire winters in Mexico, but there are places that we can go in our area that do our souls good and move us out of the blahs. I have a friend who often goes to the Garfield Park Conservatory in the city, some photos of it up on the screen, or to the Art Institute for a dose of color and beauty, especially during these months. One of the reasons that I moved from Oak Park to Hampshire 9 years ago before coming here to Orland was because I needed a change to change our environment from the congestion and the noise, the violence, the pollution. There were certainly places where I found God when I lived in Oak Park, no doubt, but the home and property in Hampshire provided a calming and peaceful presence, a peaceful place for our family and those we hosted on retreat there. Even in the winter, we could look out and see the beauty of the landscape, to see wildlife, the beautiful trees and the sunsets, God's altar in creation. When we're struggling with our mood in these gloomy days, creating a space conducive to positive mental health is key. Research has found that our environment can impact our mental health. So the aesthetics of a room, whether it is organized or cluttered, the way we take it in, the smell, the temperature, the colors, the familiarity of a place or the items within it. Spending time with people with whom we trust and care about, and in places that share our values and our culture, all of these things can lead us to be calm and peaceful, or anxious and agitated. An option, then, for being intentional about noticing the holy or reminding ourselves of God's presence is by creating a small home altar. There's an example on the screen. Barbara Brown Taylor says that we can set a little altar in the world, in our home, or in our hearts. And we simply take notice of it, the way God is present. We can bring some items together to create a space at which to meet God. A candle, a few flowers, or a plant, an icon or a photo, prayer beads or a sculpture, all placed on a small table or on some fabric in a bookshelf, can draw our attention and remind us of God's divine presence. You may have a favorite chair that's where from which you can look at a painting or a photo or a poster that you like to gaze upon. Hopefully the colors of the walls and the floor are soothing, and you may have a blanket or a footrest on which to get comfy and cozy as you pray. We aren't worshiping the altar or the items upon it, but we are meeting God there. Altars are not a replacement for God, but rather an acknowledgement that God is present. We can know something intellectually in our minds, but for visual learners, physical reminders are helpful and important. So, this is a way that you can create an altar at home. Several years ago, I did a sermon series during Lent called Busy, and it was based on all the prayer practices that we can do because we live in such a busy, crazy, hectic world. And so everyone was encouraged to find a prayer chair at home, a place to go and sit in order to calm their minds and focus on spending time with God. And at a Lenten workshop, we actually made prayer chairs. Now, this one doesn't maybe look very comfortable, but it's pretty. And they were visual reminders. We actually placed them around the community with signs on it to encourage people to rest in God's presence. But having a little altar somewhere in your home is the same idea. It helps us to stop for a moment and intentionally focus on God's presence in our midst, remembering that God is the source of everything. We rejoice. We rejoice that we're able to commune with God. Our lives, as Psalm 112 says so well, are better when we are following God's ways. There is joy as we practice generosity and loving each other. And the only way we can know God's way is by spending time with God and God's word. There are little altars everywhere. There are places where we can meet God and give thanks to God wherever we are. So I hope that this week we can be intentional about looking for God out in the world. And if it's helpful to you, you might make a little home altar where you can stop and reflect intentionally. Meeting God through all of the senses will lift our spirits as we continue to shed light on the winter blahs. Amen.